Good evening, everyone. Glad to be here. And taking the denial position is Stephen Kogel, pastor for the Bible Baptist Church in Lucasville, Ohio. We will be running segments of 9 minutes in the debate. And first, to state his position on the debate, on the affirmative side, is the Reverend Weldon E. Warnick. We will be going in 9 minute segments.
Thank you very much, Bill. You can just call me Weldon, if you would, please. Welcome to this religious debate, ladies and gentlemen, on water baptism. And before I give Bible passages as to why an alien sinner must be baptized in order to be saved or have his sins forgiven, I want to present a brief background as to what prompted this discussion. As many of you know, Stephen Kogel, my opponent in this discussion, has a daily radio broadcast on WPAY. And for the past few months, he has been constantly and continuously attacking the churches of Christ maliciously, grossly misrepresenting what we believe and teach. Members of the Church of Christ refuse to stand by and take these insults and pernicious diatribes without fighting back. Hence, I challenged Mr. Kogel for a debate in an auditorium in the Portsmouth area, but he refused, but finally agreed to debate on WPAY if we paid the expenses and he was permitted to have the last speech. So, in order to get the debate, we agreed to these conditions, and the Harding Avenue Church of Christ in Southerville graciously agreed to pay for the radio expenses, and I agreed to let Mr. Kogel have the last speech. So here we are. Now, in response to my letter on one of his radio programs, Mr. Kogel stated, and I quote, "Are you going to debate him?" He's talking about me. "Absolutely not." He said, first of all, I wouldn't waste spit in his direction, but evidently he's decided to waste some, because he's here tonight. Secondly, I wouldn't waste my time. Thirdly, if you debate one Camelite heretic, you got to debate them all, so he's going to be mighty busy in the future debating all of them, since he's debating me tonight. Fourth thing is, he said, his heart, talking about me, is not right with God. And another thing is, he is not searching for the truth. He is a self-righteous, Bible-rejecting pervert that is trying to get to heaven by his own good works. And he's also called us dirty heretics, and a pernicious cult. Now, Mr. Kogel, listen to me. You've never met a Campbellite, I guarantee you that. You've never heard of one. I've never seen one, and nobody in this radio audience has ever met a Campbellite. There's not a Campbellite church in the world. There just aren't any. And such a statement on your part is mean, malicious, and prejudicial. And I call you what you are, a Baptist. That's what you call yourself. That's what's over your door in the meeting house in Lucasville. And when men cannot answer the arguments, then they start attacking the Bible. When you say my heart is not right, that I'm self-righteous, and I'm not searching for the truth, you judge my motives. Now, God will judge my motives, and we will let the listeners decide whether I teach the truth of God or not. Now, to the issue, my friends, as to the essentiality of baptism. And let me say, first of all, that the issue is not, it is not that water is man's savior. Jesus is our savior. It's by his blood we're saved. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved except Jesus Christ. But Jesus saves conditionally. And baptism is one of those conditions, just like faith, repentance, and confession are conditions of salvation. The issue is not that baptism alone saves. There are other conditions. Faith, repentance, and confession of faith precede, are prerequisites to baptism. And again, the issue is not that man earns or merits salvation. There's no merit in water. Are you listening to me? I said there's no merit in water. There's no merit in anything that man does, but the merit is in the blood of Jesus Christ who died on Calvary's cross. But we've got to contact the blood of Jesus, and we do this through obedience to the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in the waters of baptism, our sins are washed away through the blood of Christ. Jesus saves, and we're raised to walk in newness of life. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. The issue, ladies and gentlemen, is that man must obey God regardless of what it is in order to save his soul. And to obey God, a man must be baptized. Now let's introduce our first passage. In 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and verse 21, Peter said, "The like figure
whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Now this word figure, according to Thayer's Greek-English lexicon, is from the word antitupos. And he says on page 51, as baptism corresponds to the deluge. In other words, Peter says that baptism, it corresponds to the deluge, or the flood back there during the times of Noah, in verse 20 of 1 Peter 3, where 8 souls were saved by water. He says, now the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Now, Steve, I ask you the question. Does baptism now save us, or does baptism not save us? Now, you answer which one it is according to the Bible. Baptism doth now save us, according to Peter. Now saves us. My opponent says baptism doth not save us. Peter said baptism doth now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of flesh. It's not the washing of the body, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, friend, if you're going to have a good conscience, you're going to have to be baptized, and then you can have the freedom of good conscience. You can be liberated from sin. You're saved. Jesus reconciles you. You're redeemed in Christ Jesus, because Peter said, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. Now then, let's look, if you would please, in Mark 16 and verse 16. In the Great Commission, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now here's a worldwide commission. It's the same as he gave in Matthew 28 verse 19. Where he said, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Mark's account says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now, the Protestant view is, he that believes is saved and baptized later. The Catholic view is, he that is baptized shall be saved and believes later. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And you notice that believe and baptized are joined together with a coordinating conjunction and that gives them equal weight. And so our Lord said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now Jesus said that's what a man must do in order to be saved. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what I believe. We don't merit our salvation. We don't earn our salvation. We simply do what the Lord said. Let me give you an example. Back in the Old Testament in 2 Kings, here is Naaman, the leper who was told by Elisha to go dip in the river Jordan 7 times. And here he had to go about 20 miles to dip. And he dipped 7 times. And when he dipped, he was cured of his leprosy. Did he merit it? No, sir. Was it by the grace of God? Indeed it was. God favored him, but the power was in God, not in the waters of Jordan. And ladies and gentlemen, the same thing is true about water baptism. A man must obey what Jesus said, and one of the conditions that Jesus gave was that an individual must be baptized in order to be saved. Now, these are the passages we'll introduce more later in the next speech that I have. But here in 1 Peter 3:21, Peter said, baptism doth also now save us. My opponent says, it does not save us. Now, who are you going to take? Are you going to take the inspired apostle Peter? Are you going to take Stephen Cope? And here Jesus in the Great Commission in Mark 16:16 said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Jesus said that baptism stands between the believer and his salvation. And that's what I believe, and that's what I preach. Time and now my opponent.
Okay, we would like to introduce the denial position, Stephen Calgill, pastor for the Bible Baptist Church in Lucasville, Ohio.
Thank you, Bill. It's good to be here tonight, and I thank the Lord for the opportunity to be able to expose the damnable heresy, 2 Peter 2:1, of the Church of Christ, so-called religion. And Mr. Weldon Warnick here has challenged me to a debate, and of course he pointed out at the initial start there of his speech that he challenged me and I said that they had to pay. Well, he challenged me, so he should have to pay, regardless of who pays. I'm not paying a penny for it, and I'm just sitting here having fun, and I thank God for this opportunity to be able to be here and to bring out several verses. Also, I told Mr. Warnick that he should start, since he's the one who challenged me to a debate. Initially, another Church of Christ preacher said that Mr. Warnick wanted to go last. Well, if he went last, that means I go first. But he's the one who challenged me, so he goes first and I go last. Also, I'd like to say that my 2-year-old boy was kind of busy tonight. He wasn't able to be here tonight to debate Mr. Warnick. And my 2-year-old boy knows probably about as much Bible. And also, Mr. Warnick stated that you contact the blood through the waters of baptism. Now, that is a Roman Catholic teaching. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that you're not saved unless you're a member of the Roman Catholic Church. That's exactly what the Church of Christ teaches. Number two, the Roman Catholic Church teaches that baptism plays a part in salvation. The difference is the Church of Christ, they do baptize by immersion. We'll have to give them credit there. And the Catholic Church sprinkles. The third similarity between the Church of Christ and the Roman Catholic Church is the Roman Catholic Church says that you get the blood through a medium. 1 Timothy 2:5 says there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The medium is not the water baptismal pool. It's not the Pope. It's not the priest or any church. The medium is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. John 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that get baptized, no sir, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. A person is born of God, becomes a child of God, being born again by receiving Jesus Christ, by believing, John 1, verses 12 and 13, not one word about baptism. In John 3, verse 14, Jesus said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You'll go back to Numbers chapter 21, verses 6 to 9. And I brought this out to Mr. Warnick there last week when he visited me there at the church. And we talked for over 2.5 hours and went round in circles. And he didn't have anything to say about this. But in Numbers chapter 21, verses 6 to 9, Moses was told by God to put a fiery brazen serpent upon the pole. And if those Jews would look, they would live. It was a look of faith. And Jesus is given the similitude in John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And Jesus said in John 12:32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Going on in John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Not one word about water baptism. And I'm going to give at least 80 more verses. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life, not one word about water baptism. Verse 17. Had to get me a drink of coffee there. What's good? Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Notice not one word about baptism in these verses. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? What's the reason? Condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, Mr. Warnick will say, well, yes, that's true. You have to believe, but there's also this and this and this and that. But these verses don't say that. These verses say believe, believe, believe. John 3, verses 14 to 18. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Not one word about water baptism in that verse. John 4, verse 10, the woman at the well. Jesus told that woman in John 4, 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. He'll probably get water baptism out of that somehow. And then John chapter 4, verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He's saying, if you partake of me and you drink of the water that I'll give you, me, he's saying, Jesus Christ, he says, you'll never thirst. And then in John 5, verse 24, the Bible says, Jesus speaking, John chapter 5, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Not one word about water baptism. You notice Mr. Warnick used about 2 or 3 verses, and that one of the verses that he used was an Old Testament verse in 2 Kings chapter 5, which he used Naaman the leper, and he failed to tell you that that man was baptized 7 times. I suppose Mr. Warnick is going to try to tell us tonight that we got to get baptized 7 times. I thought you didn't believe in the Old Testament. The Church of Christ preachers will use Old Testament passages to prove their doctrines. But if I or somebody else will use Old Testament passages to try to prove something, they'll say, well, that's under the Old Covenant. In other words, they can use it when they want to use it, and we can't use it when we want to use it. John 6, verse 40, going on. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6, 40. John 6, 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life, present tense, right now. You don't have to hope for it. You don't have to think. It's not maybe. It's not, well, I'm trying to hold on. I'm trying to do this and I'm trying to do that. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life, John 6, 47. And Jesus said in John 6, 48, I am that bread of life. He is that bread of life. John 6, 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven. Jesus speaking, talking about himself. That a man may eat thereof and not die. 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. He's talking about himself, not water baptism. And the bread that I will give is the flesh, is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And then going on several verses in John chapter 6. Also, the Church of Christ, and I would like for Mr. Warnick to answer this. They claim, and he said this last week when we talked with him for over 2 hours, if a Christian can lose their salvation, which I don't believe, I believe you're saved, you're sealed under the day of redemption, Ephesians 1:13, Ephesians 4:30, 2 Corinthians 1:22. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. You will never lose the Holy Spirit. That's what makes you a Christian. By receiving Christ, and the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, and Paul said in Romans 8, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Church of Christ teaches that a man, woman, boy, or girl can lose their salvation. Can lose their salvation. They say, well, to be saved, you have to repent, confess, believe, and then you're not saved yet. You've got to be baptized. All right? Then, if you're baptized and do all these things the Church of Christ says, then you can lose your salvation, but they claim you don't have to be rebaptized again. Why don't you? If you've lost your salvation, why don't you have to get baptized again to get your salvation back again? Now, something else about the Church of Christ, they claim that your sins are forgiven through the baptismal waters. But that's part of the gospel. But we find out in Luke 5, verses 18 to 20, and Luke 7, verses 48 to 50, and Luke 8, verses 48 to 50, that those sins were forgiven. They were forgiven. How much time do I have? They were forgiven, and they were not forgiven through water baptism. They were forgiven through faith in those verses in the gospel of Luke. And, of course, I'll go through some other different things. Thank you.
Okay, that is our first segment of the debate, the affirmative and the denial positions, each lasting 9 minutes. We'll have 3 sets, and now to begin the second set, again, is Weldon Warnick.
Thank you very much, Bill. And you notice, ladies and gentlemen, that he didn't say anything about what I said concerning 1 Peter 3:21 and Mark 16:16. The negative is supposed to answer the affirmative's arguments, and I thought he was in the affirmative there for a while. Now, he said his 2-year-old boy couldn't be here to debate me, that he knew more than I do. Now, Steve, he ought to come here and take in your place, because you're doing such a sorry job tonight in answering the scriptures that I presented and ridiculing the Church of Christ. Probably he could ridicule the Church of Christ as well as you can. And Steve talked about me saying baptism, you know. Well, do you get enjoyment out of being rude and crude and boorish? Well, I don't call it baptism. I call it baptism, just like you do. And I don't know any preachers in the Church of Christ who call it baptism. But you go ahead and have your fun if you want to. Now, certainly Jesus provides the blood. He washes in the blood, but he does it conditionally. And I maintain that he washes it in the blood of Christ when we're baptized, according to Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. And he went into great length of trying to show that we're saved just by faith alone. And not a one of those passages teaches that we're saved by faith alone or faith only.
If you followed him a while ago when he was reading from the Gospel of John, and then he said he'd read one of those on faith like John 3:16, God so loved the world that gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Then he said, nothing in that text about baptism. Well, Steve, there's nothing in that text about repentance, is there? Where'd you get repentance? And there's nothing in that text about confession as a condition of salvation. And you teach that too, here in your tract that you hand out, that you got your church stamped on the back of it. And it says in this tract, entitled, "Has Your Casket Arrived in Town?" If you want to be saved, bow your head right now and ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And also you give Romans 10:9 about confessing with the mouth. Where's confession in these passages that you read a while ago? But your trouble, Steve, is that you don't understand faith. That's your problem. And if we can convince you what faith really is, then I think you can see that baptism has a place in faith. Baptism is an act of faith. When Jesus said that we're to be baptized, if we have our trust in him and obey him, then we're going to be baptized because of our faith in him. Now, Thayer's Greek-English lexicon, and by the way, Thayer is the greatest lexicographer of all time. He's known around the world among theologians as the greatest lexicographer of all time. And he said, under the Greek word pistuo, which is the verb for faith, which means believe, on page 511, I want you to listen to this. He says, believe, he says, a conviction full of joyful trust that Jesus is the Messiah, the divinely appointed author of eternal salvation in the kingdom of God, conjoined with obedience to Christ. Now notice what he says, my friend, about believe or faith. He says, first of all, it's a conviction. And secondly, it's full of joyful trust. We're convinced that Jesus is the Christ. We joyfully trust in him and his power and his blood, and conjoined with obedience to Christ. Now in Acts 10:48, Peter said at the household of Cornelius, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. What was the purpose of it? Why did he command them to be baptized? I'd like to ask you that. What was the purpose of the baptism at the household of Cornelius in Acts 10:48? Now, as far as 2 Kings 5, I use that for an illustration. I simply showed that Naaman going over to the river of Jordan and dipping did not nullify God's grace. He didn't earn the cure of his leprosy by doing what God said. And we can see through a ladder. We can see that, my friends. He simply did what the Lord said, and the Lord cleansed him of his leprosy when he obeyed. And our blessed Lord said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, we need to quit listening to such men as Steve Kogel. We need to start listening to the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody says, I can't see any connection between forgiveness of an alien sinner and his sins and being baptized. Maybe you can't. But Jesus said, do it. And I believe him. I trust in him. And I do exactly what he says. Well, let's take another text. Now, Steve, I hope you get around to answering these verses this time. Don't observe the Passover on them like you did the last time. I introduced 1 Peter 3:21, Mark 16:16. Don't you wait now till your last speech and try to answer these things. You do it honestly and fairly. And you answer what I'm presenting. In Acts 2:38, on the day of Pentecost, the apostle Peter said, when the Jews cried out or said, men and brethren, what shall we do? After Peter had preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and convicted them, they put to death the Son of God. In verse 38, Peter's response was, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, verse 39, and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Those that are far off, according to Greeks, Thayer's Greek-English lexicon, the word makran, he says it means Gentiles. For the promise is unto you, that is the audience to whom he was speaking, and to your children, your descendants, and to all that are far off. Thayer's Greek English Lexicon says this expression, afar off, means Gentiles are the heathen, on page 386 of his English Lexicon. And we know it from Ephesians 2, verse 13 and verse 17, that those who are far off indeed are the Gentiles, are the heathen. And so Acts 2:38 shows that baptism counts between repentance and the remission of sins. And I again reiterate, my friends, that when we are baptized, we're not meriting salvation, we're obeying God. We don't earn anything. We don't deserve anything. We're saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He provided what we couldn't do for ourselves. We can't save ourselves from the standpoint of providing the scheme of redemption. But we can respond to it. And in Acts, the second chapter, in verse 40, then with many other words did he, that is Peter, testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And so I've got to respond, and I've got to move. And I maintain that not only must we be baptized, but we must believe with all of our heart, repent of our sins, confess our faith, and be baptized for the remission of sins. Then he asked the question, if a Christian can lose his salvation, why not be baptized again? Because he's in the kingdom of God. We're born into the kingdom of God, of water and the Spirit. John 3 and verse 5. We're the children of God. And when we become erring children of God, in Acts the 8th chapter and verse 22, after Simon the sorcerer was baptized in verse 13 of that chapter, then he was told after he sinned to repent of this thy wickedness and pray, God, that perhaps the thought of thine heart will be forgiven thee. And so a child of God is told to repent of his sins and to pray to God. And in 1 John chapter 1, if we, John himself included, if we confess our sins, verse 9, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us, that is his children, from all unrighteousness. And so that's why that we're not to be baptized again. Baptism is for alien sinners, not for erring children of God. I want to know, Steve, what do you baptize for? Would you give me the book, chapter, and verse as to why you baptize? Give us the reason and the purpose for water baptism. We're all going to be listening. And remember, it's not baptism, as you said. And you can be funny if you want to, and you can ridicule. And I hope you can get enjoyment out of that. But it's baptized. Give us the reason and answer my arguments, if you would, please. Thank you so much.
Again, you're listening to tonight's debate. The scriptures teach that water baptism is essential for the forgiveness of sins. That was the affirmative position of Weldon E. Warnick, the evangelist of the Church of Christ. And now with the denial position is Stephen Kogel, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Lucasville, Ohio.
Thank you, Bill. First of all, I want the listening audience to notice that Mr. Warnick keeps referring to another authority other than the Word of God. You notice how that he keeps throwing in the Thayer's Greek Lexicon? Well, as far as I'm concerned, you can throw the Thayer's Greek Lexicon in the lake of fire where it belongs. We stick to the King James 1611 Authorized Version, which is God's infallible preserved word without one proven contradiction, mistake, or error. Now, Mr. Warnick wants me to answer some questions here. First of all, the thing there in 1 Peter 3:21, you notice that he says, even baptism doth also now save us. You'll notice in the verse it says the like figure. Water baptism is a figure of the Spirit baptism that happens to an individual and they receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. And as a matter of fact, if you remember back in Noah's day, when the people were drowned there, everybody that got baptized back in Noah's day died and went to hell. They drowned. They got baptized all right. 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but notice this, the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Water baptism is a figure of the Spirit baptism. It's an answer of a good conscience toward God. That's why Jesus Christ was baptized in Matthew chapter 3. Jesus Christ was not born a sinner. Jesus Christ was born of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus Christ was never born dead in trespasses and sins, but every human being is. That's why we have to be born again, and then after we're born again, in answer to Mr. Warnick's question to me about water baptism, I believe in water baptism. I believe that a person, after they receive Christ and believe on the name of the only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, like the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He was saved, and then Philip baptized him. But that baptism had nothing to do with the salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, after you are saved, after you have believed, and in all the verses that I've given so far, and you're saved, you ought to be baptized by immersion. You ought to tithe. You ought to give tithes and offerings. You ought to join a local Bible-believing church. You ought to be a consecrated, dedicated Christian. You ought to do all these things. You ought to witness for Jesus Christ and everything else. You shall be witnesses unto me in Acts 1:8. There are a lot of things that a person should do after they're saved, but those things have no bearing on your salvation. Now, the other verse that he gave there was Mark 16, verse 16. Now, in Mark 16, 16, Jesus Christ, this is after the resurrection, and Jesus Christ is talking to his disciples there in Mark 16, 14. He appeared unto the 11 there, and he said in verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, that is not the gospel of the grace of God that was revealed to the Apostle Paul. You notice that Mr. Warnick has completely stayed away from the Pauline doctrine? Have you noticed that Mr. Warnick has completely stayed away from Romans and Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians? And when he does not stay away from it, he'll take a verse out to try to prove that the baptizing in there is water baptism when it's spirit baptism. Like Romans 6:3. And Ephesians 4, verse 5, one baptism. That's not water baptism, that's spirit baptism. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. That is spirit baptism. Now, in Mark 16, that is the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. This is not Paul's gospel, like in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 4, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This here in Mark 16, 15 is what John the Baptist is preaching in Matthew 3, and he's baptizing there in the Jordan River, and Peter preached this in Acts 2:38 to the Jews. Here after the resurrection, they are still heralding in the kingdom. Paul isn't even saved yet, so it cannot be the gospel that was revealed to him according to Ephesians 3 and Galatians chapter 1. God specifically showed it to the Apostle Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles. You notice Mr. Warnick stopped at Mark 16, 16. He never went on to verse 17 and 18 about the signs. You know why he didn't? Because he doesn't believe that a lot of that is for today. Or he believes that some of it's for today. Well, I'd like to see him or any charismatic or anybody listening to the broadcast tonight, anybody that believes that these signs are for today, I'd like to see them cast out devils, and I'd like to see them take up serpents. I'll get a great big old copperhead or a boa constrictor and bring it, and let's see you handle it. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, we do have Bible-rejecting people today that claim to be able to do these things, different radio preachers and charismatics and different people, but of course they can't. They're, let's see, Revelation 2, verse 2. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them to be liars. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So in Mark 16, that gospel there is not the gospel of the grace of God, that a man, woman, boy, or girl is saved by grace through faith, without works, without water baptism, that was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Ladies and gentlemen, something else that I would like to bring out is Mr. Warnick brought out there in Acts chapter 10, verses 44 to 48. All right, now, in Acts 10, verses 44 to 48, you notice that it says that they received the Holy Ghost and then they were baptized. Acts 10, verse 47. Acts 10:47, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Now they received the Holy Ghost, and then Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Mr. Warnick says, well, if it's a command, then he just automatically assumes that it's part of salvation. But there's a lot of commands that a Christian should do after they're saved. You are commanded to present your body a living sacrifice. You are commanded to do this. You are commanded to do that. We could go through 500 verses for the Christian in Romans and Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, and all the different commands to a Christian. But those have no bearing on your salvation. How do we receive the Holy Spirit? We receive it just like Cornelius did in Acts 10, verses 47 and 48. He received it by faith before he was baptized in water. Now, Mr. Warnick will want to pick a great big argument over when did they receive the Holy Ghost, at the beginning of Peter's message or towards the middle or the end or what? That is absolutely nothing. That means absolutely nothing. The fact of the matter is that Cornelius and his household received the Holy Ghost before he was baptized. Now, I'm not denying the fact that Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized. But the fact of the matter is, Peter is preaching to Jews on the day of Pentecost. Paul isn't even saved yet. Paul isn't saved until Acts chapter 9. And Paul's the apostle to the Gentiles. And he used Acts 2:39 for the promises unto you and to your children to all that are far off. The promise was given back in the Old Testament book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 7. That's a direct cross-reference. Daniel 9, 7, the Jews there. And Peter says, the promise is unto you. And to all that are far off, does that include Gentiles? Absolutely not. The promise is to the Jews. In the early part of the book of Acts, God is still dealing with the nation of Israel. In Acts chapter 7, when they knocked Stephen's brains out of his head, that is the final rejection of Jesus Christ by the nation of Israel, the Sanhedrin, the big uppity-ups, the Jews. And then Acts 8, the Ethiopian eunuch gets saved by grace through faith. He is saved, he believes, he's saved, and then he gets baptized. And then in Acts 9, the Apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, is saved. In Acts chapter 15, verse 9, Peter finds out between Acts 9 and Acts 15 that a person is saved by grace through faith because according to Galatians 1:18, Paul and Peter abode for 15 days together, and Paul told Peter some things that God revealed to him. And ladies and gentlemen, Peter gets up in the assembly at Acts 15 and says, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved even as they, in Acts 15, verse 11. And he says in Acts 15, 9, purifying their hearts by faith. You want to be saved? You're saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. All right, now Mr. Warnick also said that you don't have to be rebaptized if you lose your salvation because you're in the kingdom of God. Sounds like he's teaching eternal security. God forbid a Church of Christ teacher, preacher, teaching eternal security. Thank you.
That now concludes two segments of our debate. And again, for the final time, Evangelist Weldon E. Warnick.
Thank you so much. And I know that Steve didn't have much use for Thayer, and if I taught what he did, I wouldn't want Thayer either, because it contradicts what Mr. Caldwell teaches. Thayer said on the verb believe, a conviction full of joyful trust that Jesus is the Messiah, the divinely appointed author of eternal salvation in the kingdom of God, conjoined with obedience to Christ. Now, if you want to know what a Greek word means, you go to Thayer. You want to know what an English word means, you go to Webster. But, you know, Steve wouldn't have you listen to any of these. You just listen to him. He'll tell you everything. He'll define it for you and tell you exactly what it means. But I'm going to take Thayer, my friend, when it comes to definitions of words, the most renowned lexicographer of all time. Now, he talked about 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, as being spirit baptism. That doesn't say anything, Steve, in 1 Peter 3:21 about spirit baptism. You have to make it spirit baptism in order to deny or get around water baptism. But look at the context. Verse 20 of 1 Peter 3, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few of his eight souls were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Now the Bible says that Noah and his family were saved by water. Steve said, no, those people who got in the water, why they were drowned and went to hell. And now, Steve, I want to know why you baptize people then. If it's going to send them to hell, if they get in the water, why do you baptize people? Huh? You tell us why you baptize people if getting in the water is going to send them to hell. But the Bible says that Noah and his family were saved by water, the like figure. And let me quote to you again what Thayer's Greek English Lexicon says concerning this word figure. He says, the word antitupus, he says, as baptism corresponds to the deluge. In other words, here's water back under the days of Noah that delivered them from the old world into the new. Here's baptism doth also now save us. It delivers from the world of sin into Jesus Christ. And he says, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Peter says it's not a washing of the body, a washing of the flesh. This word filth comes from the Greek word rupus, which means filth of the body, according to Arndt Genrich's Greek English lexicon of the New Testament. And so he's talking about water here in the context. And he says it doesn't wash away the filth of the flesh, but an answer of good conscience toward God. If you want an answer of a good conscience, you're going to have to be baptized according to 1 Peter 3:21. Now remember, friend, the Apostle Peter says, baptism doth also now save us. Coggle says, it doesn't save us. Now who are you going to believe? You're going to believe the Apostle Peter, or are you going to believe Stephen Coggle? Now he said, I shied away from Paul. Well, I couldn't get all the passages in. I did quote Romans 6, verses 3 and 4 a while ago to show that we reached the blood of Jesus Christ in baptism of being baptized into his death and then raised to walk in newness of life. And Coggle, here in the Hiscox Standard Baptist Manual, and the one I have on page 84 and 85, it teaches that Ephesians 4, 5 is water baptism, Romans 6, verse 4, water baptism, Galatians 3, 27 is water baptism, And all of these passages you claim to be Holy Spirit baptism, this Baptist manual says that it's water baptism. Now, I want to tell you, friend, you can read commentary after commentary, and the weight of the scholarship of the world tells you that this is water baptism in Romans 6, Galatians 3, Ephesians 4, and verse 5. But Coggle comes along, and he rewrites it, you see, in order to circumvent and to get around the impact of what the Bible says concerning water baptism. You look here in Ephesians 4, verse 5, there's one baptism. Over in the 5th chapter and verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. And so the one baptism of Ephesians 4 is the water baptism of Ephesians chapter 5. Now, concerning Mark, the 16th chapter, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And a parallel passage in the Great Commission is Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, where Jesus said, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. That passage was to last and is to last unto the end of the world. And that's true, ladies and gentlemen, with this passage in Mark 16. Are you listening to me, Steve? Are you hearing what I'm saying? That here, the parallel passage, Jesus says it's going to last till the end of the world. He says, now what about these signs? Well, these signs were confirmatory. These signs were to establish the genuineness of the apostles' message when they went out into the world. And in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, Paul says that when that which is perfect is come, shall these things in part shall be done away. And indeed they were. And that which was perfect is the complete revelation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the perfect law of liberty, James 1 and verse 25. And when that was developed, when that was completed, these signs which confirmed were done away or passed away. Now again in Acts 10 and verse 48, I want to ask, what was he baptized for? Give us the passage, Mr. Coggle, as to why you baptized. I'm not interested in your own reasoning. That doesn't prove anything. I want to give the passage as to what baptism, water baptism, is for. You baptized. Now I want to know what it's for, water baptism. I read in the Bible that it's for remission of sins, Acts 2:38. I read in the Bible that it's to save our souls, Mark 16:16. I read in the Bible where Saul of Tarsus was told to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22 and verse 16. I read in the Bible that the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. Now that's what I read, and I want you to read to us in the Bible. Now remember this, put it down, don't forget it now. Read to us in the Bible where what baptism is for, the way you practice it. Just read that. Do us a favor, and we'd be happy to hear from you, if you would please. Now, you said Cornelius received the baptism of the Holy Spirit by faith. Where do you read that in Acts 10? You don't read that in Acts the 10th chapter. Then he has this weird idea, and there are just a few that teach this across the country, that Acts chapter 2 is for the Jews. And then you get over to Acts chapter 10, and that was all done away. Well, I want to tell you, they've got the same gospel for Jew and Gentile. It's the power of God to save everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, Romans 1 and verse 16. And I want to point out to you that in the 5th chapter of Acts and verse 14, that those Jews were saved by faith. Listen to it. And believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both of men and women. These were Jews. And so they were saved by faith. And we go over to the 15th chapter of Acts and verse 11 in particular. And here is Peter saying, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. And even as they means in the same way as they also are. And so we, the Jews, are saved the same way that the Gentiles. Now, we want to know what baptism is for. Why did he command Cornelius to be baptized? Acts 2 and verse 38 says, for unto the remission of sin. And I